Specularum, the capital of the Grand Duchy of Karamikos, is the most important city in the duchy. It is the home of the Duke and the trading centre of his dukedom. Farmers, craftsmen, sailors and traders live amongst and about the city, which is accessed by a port. The port is protected on the seaward side by two long breakwaters. A large river east of the city allows ships to carry cargoes inland to other towns of the dukedom. The Duke has protected his city from attack by erecting a wall dotted with 24 towers. His castle is located on a craggy hill that looms over the harbour entrance. Inside the city, the Duke has 500 soldiers at the ready and an elite troop called the Elven Guard, who often patrol the forest lands to the north. The streets of the city are narrow, muddy, and crowded. It is an unpleasant place at the best of times. The geography of the Grand Duchy. The ancient writing of Allura Atheri. Welcome back, everybody, to my podcast, Tales of Mystara, a solo Dungeons & Dragons campaign. The rules of the tabletop and the roll of the dice dictate where the story goes, as well as whether a character lives or dies. Nothing is precious, and no one is safe from the roll of the dice. I just want to offer my apologies regarding a short section of audio later in this video. Unfortunately, I had some technical difficulties. The microphone on my dice camera was on, as well as my usual mic, and there was a bit of latency. So there's a weird echo in the background. I've done my best to clean it up in the edit, so hopefully it won't be too annoying. There was no way I could re-record it because it would have affected the integrity of the game. Another quick thing to mention is I didn't have my dice cam on for some of the recording by mistake. So if you're watching the YouTube video, apologies that you can't see some of my rolls. I guess you'll just have to trust me. So recently I've been reminiscing regarding how I started this particular series of the podcast. You might recall I rolled up four new characters. I'm going to reintroduce them now to put them fresh in the mind. So here is a little soundbite from episode one.
Alexander Targaryes is a human thief of neutral alignment. He is the younger brother of Claudius Targaryes and has the same dark blonde hair and grey eyes. But where Claudius is slightly darker of skin, Alexander is as pale as a ghost. They are members of a wealthy but untitled Thyashan family from the city of Kelvin. While Claudius was always ambitious in his commitment to the Church of Karamikos, Alexander was different. As soon as he was old enough to leave home, he did, in an effort to get away from the caring responsibility of Claudius, who was a sickly boy when he was younger. Alexander went to Specularum, and there he learned the art of thievery in an effort to fend for himself. Alexander has 4 hit points. Solana of the Kalari tribe hails from the Elvish Central Forest east of Kelvin. She is of neutral alignment. Although an elf, she travels frequently through human lands looking for adventure and finding work mostly as a freelance soldier. She wears a dark green tunic embroidered with forest vines. Her hair is bone white, and she has very pale blue eyes. She only has 1 hit point. Revere Stoneheart, a dwarf of neutral alignment from a comfortable family of craftsmen of journeyman status in Highforge. Revere left his family for human lands and adventure. His family never approved of his decision to leave, so he does not enjoy the benefits of the comfortable lifestyle generated from his family craft. In their opinion, he should stop gallivanting about and return to Highforge. Revere has earth-coloured skin and thick red hair tied in a bun on top of his head, and a long red beard intricately braided. He has 8 hit points.
Up until now, I've not really done much with these characters, but there was a few background scenes featuring Claudius looking for his brother in Specularum. Here's another soundbite.
Claudius Tagaris made his way through the dirty, narrow streets of the old quarter in Specularum. As the holy man twisted through the earthen streets, he did his best to avoid the trenches cut into the floor to allow the city's sewage to float by. He did not wear his usual vestments, but in an effort to blend into the crowd, he had adopted the common dress of ankle-length trousers, a belt, and a long-sleeved shirt buttoned at the front.
"It's him," a sudden voice sounded through the crowded streets.
He's the one."
Claudius turned towards the voice, and as the crowd began to disperse, he saw a Tralidaran man in his middle years, given away by his broad belt and colourful sash. He was standing with his wife and 2 children. The family looked impoverished. Their clothes and faces were filthy, and their countenances gaunt. The man gestured to his wife and children.
"You did this,"
he accused the cleric.
"We're half-starved. We've nowhere to sleep."
Claudius was lost for words. His mouth moved, but no speech formed. His moment of hesitation was interrupted by the impact of a rotten apple exploding on his shoulder. Within moments, more rotten fruit, vegetables, and mouldy bread was being hurled at him, so he pushed his way through the streets, and he fled in an attempt to lose the angry mob. He wound through back alleys, side streets, pushed his way through the crowds, and ducked into a little doorway. He had wandered into the Street of Dreams, the prophetic and magical centre of Specularum. To Claudius, this kind of place was abominable.
"It seems we have a case of mistaken identity,"
the voice of a young woman spoke from the back of the small shop.
"It's your younger brother they're after."
"What do you know of him?"
said Claudius.
"Cross my palm with silver,"
the voice responded. Claudius Tagaris stood before the peculiar woman. She looked to be in her mid-twenties, a small, slight Tralidaran woman with straight black hair and brown eyes. She wore the colourful garments of a palm reader.
"You're a fortune teller then,"
said Claudius.
"My name is Elia,"
the woman said gracefully.
"This is my house."
With a deft hand, Elia held out a palm towards Claudius.
"I don't have time for your heresy,"
came Claudius's impatient response. Elia looked amused.
"I promise information for silver. The information will not come from your palm, but from tangible knowledge. No magic tricks. If you want to find your brother, I can help you."
"Why help me?"
"I'm not doing it for your benefit. It's for your brother. I also find it astonishing that you just happened to stumble into my little abode. Perhaps it's fate.
Perhaps it's the will of Terastia.
Elias smiled again. This time, there was a hint of condescension. I suspect he'd be better off with you. At least for a while, until things settle down.
How did you know I was looking for him?
I have my sources. Some might also say you look very much alike. Claudius let out a momentary snarl before slamming down a silver piece on the counter. Elias smiled once more. Alexander is in hiding. He cheated a very renowned card player out of a lot of gold. This has resulted in the suffering of poor families from the old quarter. Claudius listened intently as Elias continued. This card player had a lot of property, so he raised his rents to pay his gambling debts. A lot of people couldn't pay. Now they want your brother's blood. Claudius let out another snarl.
He will repent. Where is he hiding?
The Kingdom of Thieves are protecting him.
Give me an address.
So, to put matters in perspective, Claudius, the cleric, is looking for his younger brother, Alexander, in Specularum. Alexander is in hiding and being protected by one of the thieves' guilds because he's made enemies in Specularum. In today's episode, I'm going to pick up this story, which is running more or less parallel to the events in the Palace of Evander. Not strictly on the same date and time. In fact, I haven't actually decided for sure where on the timeline this will be placed exactly. I want some flexibility to remain as the DM in this campaign. So I guess I have some decisions to make here as the DM. I need to pull together a starting scene to kick off, an adventure for Claudius, Alexander, Solana and Revere. With this scenario, I'd like to generate everything on the fly to offer some contrast to the pre-written adventure that I'm putting Ilyena, Yolanda and Cathbad through. So I'm just going to use the official setting information as my guide, particularly information about Specularum. After making his way to an address on the western side of the foreign quarter, Claudius approaches the entrance to a house down a narrow alley. The house is owned by the Kingdom of Thieves. Two burly women stand guard either side of the door and show an interest in his approach. "What do you want?" asks one of the women. Claudius steps forward and mutters a phrase in the woman's ear. "In shadows we trust. In silence we move." The women part to allow entry, and Claudius clicks his fingers to summon two companions, an elf woman named Solana and a dwarf man named Revere. Claudius befriended these two adventurers whilst frequenting the local taverns and asking questions. They have agreed to help him rescue his younger brother from himself. Claudius is attempting to form a new party of adventure seekers to help him in his ambition to become a member of the Order of the Griffin. Together, the three companions open the front door and enter the small house, which opens directly into a single room living quarter. So, Alexander is in the house, in the living quarter. So we have an encounter here. So the first thing I'm going to do is roll for surprise. The black and white dice will be for the party, and the blue and red dice will be for Alexander. So Alexander is surprised. It's me, Alexander. It's Claudius, your brother. So while Claudius and Alexander are of different alignment, Claudius is a devout, lawful cleric, and Alexander is a neutral thief. The only thing they actually have in common is that they are brothers, and of the same basic race as well. So I think what I'm going to do to keep events unpredictable, I'm going to apply a +2 to the reaction roll, which means there is still a chance that Alexander will attack Claudius. Now, the two men have not seen each other since they were children, so it's been many years. So let's see what the reaction roll dictates. So that's an 8 altogether. So 8 is a cautious reaction, which allows another roll in a round's time.
You don't look the way I remember you, says Alexander.
So this is an opportunity now for Claudius to explain his position to Alexander. So Claudius grew up in confinement. He was a sickly child who spent most of his early years bedridden and waited on by the servants of the house, including Alexander, who felt so much pressure having to look after Claudius that this is kind of what fueled him running away to Specularum and starting this whole alternative life as a thief on the streets. So Claudius spent much of his time studying the doctrine of the Church of Karamikos and works like the famous writing called the Song of King Halev and old stories about the immortals. And when he was old enough, he devoted himself to the church fully as a cleric, believing the immortals directly responsible for his body growing stronger and more able as he came of age. So Claudius explains this to Alexander. He explains to him how he found his faith through the works of the immortals and how he believes that the immortals are directly responsible for him overcoming his sickliness, and this explains why Claudius no longer looks ill. So now I'm going to roll another reaction roll for Alexander, who is currently cautious, and I have +2 to add to the reaction roll as before. So that's 11 altogether.
It's been such a long time, brother, says Alexander. Why are you here now?
Claudius tells his brother everything that has befallen him so far. He was in Threshold but a month ago, where he set up an adventuring party to bring the renegade magic user known as Bargle to justice for the murder of Alina Halloran. His effort was a failure, and he lost contact with his companions. He has a proposition for Alexander to join him and get away from Specularum and help his older brother do some good in the known world, with, of course, plenty of opportunity to gain fortune and reputation. So I'm going to roll a third reaction roll, and this one, now that Alexander is neutral, will be at +4, plus the original extra 2, so +6 altogether, to see if he can entice Alexander to join the party. So that's 14 altogether. And with such a high reaction roll, Alexander is happy to agree to join the party. So that means that in this campaign at the moment now, we have two adventuring parties. We have Claudius's party and we have Ilyena and Yolanda's party. So next it's just a matter of deciding what this new party is going to want to accomplish in Mystara, in the Grand Duchy. So it's obvious that Claudius's party need to get out of Specularum. The nearest settlement, apart from Marilinev, is Krakatos, which is actually a ruin. It's an ancient settlement that is currently devoid of any inhabitation. Marilinev is too close for comfort, and if they want to pick up rumours to point them in a direction of interest, then they don't want to end up becoming the subject of rumours, because in order to ask around, you have to some extent, make yourself known. And as people will be looking for Alexander, this is not a good idea. So they need to basically hit the road and get away from Specularum. So two obvious places that are left are Riflian and Kelvin. But of course, Alexander and Claudius are from Kelvin. So it wouldn't really make sense for them to venture home so soon when they are out looking for opportunity. So Riflian would be the most sensible place to go. So this is where it kind of gets interesting, because one of the rumours they might pick up in Riflian is that at some point in recent time, Yolanda and Ilyena came through Riflian, and that's where they bought their mule, Bella. So it's a question of whether the activity actually landed on anybody's radar as being a event of any significance. See, I've always seen rumours in a D&D campaign as being a way for other adventuring parties to discover what other parties are doing in the world, in order to get some advantage over them, i.e. they're on their way to find some treasure in a dungeon, so the party hears the rumour and they beat them to it. Because if you look back at D&D in the 70s in its heyday, in the Three Brown Books, rumours are mentioned for the first time in D&D history. And it doesn't really explain how they're used, just that you can pick up rumours by doing things like buying rounds of drinks in taverns and stuff like that. But the way that D&D was originally designed to be played was for the campaign game, and there would be upwards of 10, 20 players in a campaign. Now, the assumption is that these players would form different adventuring groups. Some players might have several characters, and obviously they would try not to make use of meta knowledge. So one way of trying to discover what the plans of other players was would be to pick up rumours. Now, how this might be handled in a solo game is anybody's guess, really. So this is something that I'm going to have a little think about.
But for now, it would make perfect sense that the party would make their way to Rifleon by following the Duke's Road north of Specularum. So if we say that the party are able to move about 24 miles a day on a good road, then it will take them about 3.5 to 4 days to reach Rifleon. Looking through the rule cyclopedia, there isn't a lot of information about rumours, just that they can be obtained from inns and taverns, and higher level thieves can obtain them through various means. But looking at the original OD&D book 3, there's a section on rumours, information and legends. And it says that such activity as advertising will certainly gain the notice of the locals and begin a chain of rumours. So will almost any other unusual activity. Even the departure of a party from a town is likely to be noticed. Obtaining such news is usually merely a matter of making the rounds of the local taverns and inns, buying a round of drinks, slipping the barman a few coins, and learning what is going on. So we did have a situation in Rifleon when Yolanda and Ilyena bought a mule and then immediately left the town. And it does say, even the departure of a party from a town is likely to be noticed. So, to me, it's a case of seeing if Claudius's party can successfully extract the rumour. However, it seems, just by using this as a bit of guidance, that the rumour itself is sure to exist. A rumour just pertaining to an adventuring party came through here and left on so-and-so date, and there may be a basic description of what these adventurers look like, which might pique Claudius's interest because he knows Yolanda and Ilyena from their time together when they went into Castle Mistamere to bring Bargle to justice a month prior. Before I get into deciding on whether the party can pick up rumours in Rifleon, I need to take a step back and look at the journey from Specularum to Rifleon, because it's going to take them 3.5 days to get there. This journey is going to be subject to wandering monster checks. There will be a wandering monster check at the start of each day on a D6. Because they're on a road, the terrain would be considered clear. So there is a 1 in 6 chance on the first day of travel in the morning of a wandering monster encounter. Luckily, no encounter happens in the morning of the first day. And now there is a 1 in 12 chance of a nighttime encounter. Luckily, they get through the first day and night without bumping into any unwanted encounters. So I'm going to roll the dice for the second day. No encounters on the second day. So the third day, no encounters on the third day, and on the half day morning, there's a 1 in 6 chance of an encounter just before they reach Rifleon. So they make it to Rifleon relatively safely. So what I'm actually going to do here, this is what I'm going to do. Ilyena, Yolanda and Cathbad are about to enter combat with a dryad in the Palace of Evander timeline. Now, with Claudius's party, their current timeline is the 4th of Felmont, so this is 4 days prior. They're in Riflian, and I'm going to say that there's a chance that they can pick up the rumour regarding Yolanda and Ilyena's presence in Riflian, which was less than a week ago. And because I want to give Ilyena, Yolanda and Cathbad a fair chance of fighting a dryad, I'm going to say that if Claudius and friends pick up the rumour regarding Yolanda and Ilyena passing through Riflian, the only thing that they would have said in Riflian was that they were on their way to Alabast, a homestead within Radleb Woods, or somewhere on the edge, on the south edge of Radleb Woods. And Ilyena and Yolanda were simply on their way to Alabast to deliver news of their friend, their former friend, Fyodor Ivanos's death in Castle Mistamere. So this rumour is going to cost them 1d6 times 10 gold pieces, and this will be basically a round of drinks in a tavern. So that's 10 gold pieces in total. So this money is going to come from Claudius's pocket, who has 43 gold pieces. So that takes him down to 33. And I guess the most sensible way to handle this is a reaction roll. And none of the characters have any charisma, really, any bonus for charisma. But what would make sense is that Solana, because she's a Kalari elf, she will have a better chance of trying to gain favour with the locals in Riflian. So I'm going to give her a +2 to the reaction roll. So that's 7 altogether. So this means that the local Kalari elves are a little bit cautious. So they're not willing to give information away. So I think to sweeten the deal, the party are going to buy yet another round of drinks. So that's going to cost them 40 gold pieces, which brings Claudius down to his last 3 gold coins. He's running quite low on funds now. He does have 10 silver pieces as well. I'm going to allow a further reaction roll with +2. So that's 9. So they're starting to bring these Kalari elves, these local Kalari elves, in one of the taverns round a little bit. But the job is still not quite done. They are talking a little bit more freely, but they're yet to obtain the information that they need. But the atmosphere has changed. These locals are more neutral. So I'm going to give a +4 to the next reaction roll. So that's 13, which is enough to win them over. So the party are able to pick up the rumour regarding Ilyena and Yolanda passing through, buying a mule and making their way to Alabast. So interestingly enough, as Claudius, Alexander, Revere and Solana enter Riflian, they arrive on Beast's Day, because it is the 4th day of Felmont. But this is something that the Kalari elves probably wouldn't really put up much of a celebration for. There wouldn't be much of a fuss being made, because this is strictly a Trelladaran holiday. And Claudius, being Phaeacian, would not really pay much attention to the fact that it's Beast's Day either. But what's significant about the fourth day of Felmont is this is the day that Ilyena and Yolanda first arrived at the homestead called Alabast, where they were indeed celebrating Beast's Day, because this was a Treledaran village that was built on the ruins of an ancient elven village. When Ilyena and Yolanda left Riflian, they went south along the Duke's Road, and then they turned onto Westron Road, cutting across the plains, avoiding Krakatos and Specularum, and then they ventured north towards Radleb Woods until they came to the homestead of Alabast. This was a pretty long route, which took 21 days in total. So obviously, if Claudius decided to lead his party back down Duke's Road and then up Westron Road and then north through the woods and into Radleb, there is no way that he would manage to catch Yolanda and Ilyena before they face the Dryad. And they would only manage 8 hexes per day travelling through the forest. So it would take them about 6 days just to reach Alabast. And from there, they might be able to pick up news pertaining to Yolanda and Ilyena going to find the palace of Evander. But of course, they would have to find Taclyn Mereborn in order to obtain a copy of the map to find the palace. But ultimately, they are just too late. It makes sense that Claudius would try and find his old allies. So I think, yes, he would definitely go to Alabast in search of them. But the question is he going to venture through the woods to reach Alabast as a matter of urgency with some speed? Or is he going to take the long 21-day journey using the roads? I guess it's a matter of 6 days, which is 12 wandering monster checks, or 21 days, which is 42 wandering monster checks. Personally, I think risking travelling through Radleb Woods seems to be the sensible option here. I'm not going to roll checks to see if the party becomes lost. Instead, I'm going to roll for brevity that Solana, being a Kalari elf, who would be quite at home in the forests, especially Kalari-dominated forests like Radleb Woods, she will be a more than capable guide, especially taking into account that Alabast is an ancient elf settlement, so she's likely to know of it. So I'm going to roll the wandering monster checks for both day and night, and there is a 2 in 6 chance for an encounter in the daytime and a 2 in 6 chance for an encounter at night. So day 1, no encounter. Day 2. So on the second day, as the party are travelling through the dense, tangled forest known as Radleb Woods, they've barely put much distance, no more than 8 miles between themselves and the elven city of Riflian, before they encounter danger. So I'm going to roll on the wilderness encounters table given in the rules cyclopedia to figure out what the party have run into in Radleb Woods. So on a 3 on the D8, they run into a humanoid or humanoids. And now I need to roll a D12. To find out what type of humanoid they encounter. So on a 1, it is bugbear. And there's going to be 2d8 of these things. So that's 11 bugbears. So now I'm going to roll for surprise. And the party are surprised. This is not going well at all. So these bugbears are going to notice the party at 1d4 times 10 yards. So let's roll up the distance. So that's 10 yards away. So these bugbears are hiding amongst the vegetation and the trees. And essentially they have ambushed Claudius and his companions. So it's time to do a reaction roll to find out how the monsters are going to react to the party. A 10 means the bugbears are neutral. So I actually have my own little solo mechanic. Handling situations where monster reaction rolls are positive or neutral. When a roll on the random actions by monsters table results in a positive outcome, the player, which is me, should get to decide what that outcome is. But they may only choose from the following options. The first option is to receive some directions from the monsters. The second option is to lure the monster into service, and I have a separate procedure for handling this. And the third option is to receive a bribe. And for that, I just roll on the random treasure tables to ascertain what the bribe consists of. And it's up to the solo player to decide which of the above options are available, and this will depend on the type of monster encountered. On a cautious reaction, or neutral, which is what we have here, the player must pay a bribe to the monster instead, and then a further reaction roll with a +4 bonus will be rolled to see if the bribe is accepted. So to calculate the bribe required to appease the bugbears, it's just going to be a simple roll of a d6 times 10, and that will be the value of the bribe in gold pieces. So they are requiring a bribe equivalent to 30 gold pieces. And the interesting thing here is the party only have 17 gold pieces to their name. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to offer the bugbears 17 gold pieces and 3 packs of rations. Each pack of rations is standard rations, a 7-day supply, and that is roughly the equivalent at the sale price, at the purchase price, altogether of around 30 gold pieces. And I think ultimately the bugbears might be more interested in food than treasure. So I think it's fair to say that I am just about able to meet the bribe that they are demanding. So the party have given up all of their money that they are currently carrying, and Claudius, Alexander and Revere have all given up their rations. So at this point now, The party are running low on food, as well as the fact that they have no money. So how are the bugbears going to react to this bribe? So there will be a +4 to the reaction roll. So that's 13, which means the bugbears have become friendly and are happy for the party to continue on their journey through Radleb Woods. So now I need to roll further wandering monster encounters. So we're looking at day 3. No encounter morning or night. Day 4. And on the 4th day, there will be a nighttime encounter. And I think that's all we have time for in this episode, as it's clocking in now at the best part of 3/4 of an hour. I hope you've enjoyed it, despite me still getting to grips with my approach. I look forward to the next session. Have a great week, everyone.